Morning. Well, we are seeing various signs of spring now. Hopefully any significant snow and ice are done by now. We certainly had enough in February, didn't we? And we are enjoying some much appreciated warmer temperatures. Easter's only 3 weeks away, a definite sign that spring is upon us. But one sign of spring that is a little bit more of a challenge to deal with happened overnight. Yep, we moved our clocks ahead by 1 hour, and losing an hour of sleep as a result. I'll admit my eyelids are a little heavy this morning, as I'm sure many of yours are. However, we do get an extra hour of daylight this evening, so that's something to look forward to. But forgive me if I stumble over my words a little bit with my heavier eyelids. This is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and we are continuing in our sermon series on the Gospel of Luke. And I do want to thank Pastor Rob for offering me this opportunity to share some thoughts about our gospel message in Luke this morning. It is from Luke chapter 15. The entire chapter is about God's love for the lost. First, there's the parable of the lost sheep, then the parable about the lost coin, and this morning we're looking at the parable of the prodigal son, or the lost son. Jesus often taught in parables to help the people understand and relate. And one of my professors from Otterbein gave us his definition of a parable, which has always stuck with me. He said, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A very simple way of understanding what a parable is. Now, Luke 15 starts out by saying, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus was indeed a friend of the lost people. The tax collectors and sinners were often marginalized and looked on with a sense of disgust by the Pharisees, scribes, and other religious leaders in that day. They saw the tax collectors and sinners, or people who really didn't care about the religious law, as the absolute unholiest. To associate with them was bad enough, but to eat with them, to sit down to a meal together and break bread, was absolutely unheard of, and you were criticized for it, as Jesus was. Now, I would like to ask Pastor Rob to share a little story that he was telling me about this particular parable from his seminary days.
Thanks, Mike. Just like your professor at Otterbein kind of gave you some insight about thinking about parables, for this particular parable, a professor of mine at seminary really opened up my view of this fairly, you know, common, familiar story for many of us if we grew up in church or even in popular culture. That message of the lost son being welcomed home is really powerful. My professor happened to be Jewish, and he said that for many Jewish Christians or people in the Middle East in general, that they're much more likely to see the emphasis that Jesus puts at the beginning of the story himself in the intro of saying there's a man who had two sons. And so they'll even call this the parable of the two sons more than the parable of the prodigal son. And like Mike pointed out, Jesus had this mixed audience when he told the story. There was the sinners and tax collectors, but there's also the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so ending his series of parables about God welcoming the lost home, he makes sure to include people who might not see themselves as lost as part of the imagery and the analogy of the parable. And having the professor point out that we could hear either position, either son, in different times of our lives and different expressions of our relationship with God was one of the things that I remember most of a story, a part of faith that was opened up to me in a whole new way that I'd kind of taken for granted and missed. That there are times where there are things going on in my life that maybe pull me away from God. And having the hope and assurance that God is there waiting for me with compassion, with love, with eager, earnest welcome is really encouraging and powerful. And that aspect of the prodigal son is really meaningful. But I probably also have to remember that there are times in my life where I'm feeling like, yeah, I've kind of been doing things the way that God wants. Maybe I'm even kind of in a groove about my faith. And I see other people who are struggling, who are going through different times, maybe fighting with something or doing something that maybe is not the best for them. And I can be prone to saying, why can't those folks just get their acts together? And so I need to hear the part of the story of the second son, the older son, who's been there with God the whole time, enjoying, but maybe a little bit not recognizing, taking for granted all the gifts that are there. And so when someone else is celebrated, it can feel like a letdown, like you've lost something. And in particular, that idea of how powerful the sense of normal can be in shifting and shaping and maybe even misforming a little bit our sense of the way things are in reality, that we get used to something being normal, the blessings of God, the faithfulness of God, the opportunity to continue to be developed in my faith and my sense of security in God's love. And when that becomes normal and I see a new expression of it for someone else, it can be something where then I resent that instead of celebrate it, where I miss things to be thankful for all along, and that can be reshaped and renewed and refreshed for my faith if I'm willing to be an older brother who says, yes, it's so great when that happens. And so, again, for me, the professor pointing out how parables have that earthly story but heavenly meaning, and they can have different heavenly meanings for different seasons of our lives, different relationships and positions that we have. It's one of the most transformative things that I've ever heard for thinking about myself, especially when I'm in a position of being more active in my faith, being more involved in a church, that it can be very easy to be in the older brother place but think, oh, well, I'll just relate to the prodigal because that's what I see the most. And I'll admit I've had moments where relating to the prodigal when I could have related to the brother has meant that I have maybe been prone to saying, well, I ran back, why won't the other prodigals run back? And so suddenly, even as relating to the prodigal, I become more like the older brother. And so I encourage all of us to think about all of those different dynamics. I'm sure Mike will unpack things a lot more for us. But that also sometimes, you know, we've got our traditional view of prodigals, of being outsiders, and hopefully we want to include folks. But also sometimes maybe we can flip it and say, people have found themselves lost because they're a little bit too legalistic, a little bit too rigid. And so even though the Pharisees and the teachers of the law might seem like the older brother, that's in their own way going away from God's love, from God's intention. And so we can welcome those folks back too sometimes, or when we have those seasons and we allow God to open us back up, that God welcomes everyone, all the different ways that we can drift away back. I'll hand it off to Mike to keep unpacking all those things.
Thank you, Rob. So in our story, we have a father with two sons. The younger one wants to leave home and strike out on an adventure of his own. He wants to go out and live it up. He's young. He's full of energy. His energies, though, are for really more selfish ambitions. He wants to go live it up and party, and so he asks his father, says, Father, give me my share of the estate, my inheritance. So the father agrees. The younger son sets off for a distant country, and the older son stayed at home with his father. Now, the younger son wasn't a bad person. I mean, he probably had good intentions and everything, but it wasn't long, though, before his problems began to happen. He did some wild living, spent all of his money, and then all of a sudden, his so-called friends that he made deserted him. Oh, and next, here comes a famine. So no money, no food, nowhere to live. He was in big trouble. So he decided he'd get a job. But all he could find was a job feeding pigs. The lowest of all jobs, probably in Jewish culture at that time. He had become a broke, destitute, hopeless young man. And you know, I think sometimes in our present day society, this can happen also. People who battle, for instance, with alcoholism, drug abuse, violence in their homes and in the streets. You know, even when we indulge in other self-destructive, debilitating habits, when our focus is not on God, but on our own selfish ways. And the younger son became so desperate, so destitute, that he even longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. So beginning in verse 17, the younger son has an aha moment. I like what the NIV says. When he came to his senses, that's what verse 17 says. When he came to his senses, he said to himself, "What have I been doing?" He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants, please.'" So he got up and went to his father. He repented. He turned himself around. And his father was still there waiting on him, waiting for his child to return. Now, the father could have turned his back and said, "Nope. You left home and spent all your money in wild living on prostitutes and everything else. I don't want you around here anymore. I'm disowning you." No, that's not what the father did. It says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Just like the father's love for his son, God's love forgives and saves when we are lost, when we go astray. God's love and grace forgives and saves even the most wretched and worthless, the most helpless and the hopeless. So not only did the father run out to meet his lost son and to embrace him, he said, "Bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet." The father restored him, restored his son to the position in the family. In similar ways, God restores us when we turn away from earthly ways and return back to him. Then the story takes a little bit of a turn, an unexpected turn. When the older son, the one who stayed home and worked and slaved in the field, learned what was happening, he said, "What's going on here?" Naturally, the older brother was angry. He said to his father, "Look, all these years I've been working and slaving for you and never disobeyed you once. I never even got a young goat for all this work. But yet, here comes Johnny come lately here, this squandering, partying son of yours, and you kill the fattened calf for him?" Have you ever been in that kind of situation before? You know, like say when you were in school and some kid who was ornery and always causing mischief and whatever, all of a sudden he straightens up just when he sees the teacher and the teacher pats him on the back for something. And you look like, "Why in the world is she doing that for him?" Or maybe at work. Have you ever been passed over for a promotion by someone who probably didn't deserve the promotion? So, yeah, I mean, that's I think we can all feel that way sometimes if we haven't already. So in a way, there are two prodigal sons here. The younger son was lost because he squandered his wealth in wild living. But the older son can't see the heavenly meaning because of his own self-righteousness. But now the father's response is key here. He said, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. Joy has indeed come to that house. God's gracious love has burst through all of the loneliness and self-centeredness. And even with all of our unworthiness, we are forgiven. We experience a sinner's forgiveness and a soul's salvation when we return to our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father tells us, 'Welcome home.'" Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for your grace to us and your love for us, for loving us when we are sometimes unlovable. Forgive us for when we go astray. Forgive us when we are short-sighted. And help teach us the better way, the heavenly meaning, so that we can be reconciled to you. And help us to show your love to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the courage of the early morning's dawning, the strength of the eternal hills and the winding streams, the peace of the evening's ending and the midnight hour, the love of God and the power of the living Christ, may all these graces and blessings be yours both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen.